So Reimagine Football is actually a series of startup challenges that we facilitated over the past few years. The most recent one happened during last summer, which focused on stimulating fan experience, fan engagement, but also how to facilitate sustainable stadiums. So these are actual startup challenges that we execute together with the Football Innovation Platform that we're part of. So the Football Innovation Platform is a network of leading European football organizations, football clubs, stadiums, leagues, federations that we're part of.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're finishing up our theme of talking with innovation managers at various sports organizations around the world. We've had an interesting time. We've primarily lived in Europe, I think, for the series, and we're going to finish in Europe as well. We're going to be talking with today Luc Mureau, who is the innovation and advisory lead at the Johan Cruyff Arena. Johan Cruyff Arena is where, of course, Ajax Amsterdam plays its home games. Luc, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for the introduction. And first of all, thanks for the invite. As a frequent listener myself, it's a pleasure to be on the other side of the microphone now. So it's a pleasure to be in a podcast today. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Appreciate the kind words, Luc, and I'd wait for your feedback on what you actually think about the podcast, but we'll take that off air. But let's start with setting the context. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you got this role at the Johan Cruyff Arena.
Yeah, we'll do that. So my name is Luc Mureau. I'm born and raised in the Netherlands, currently living in Amsterdam, quite close to the stadium, actually. And I'm working at the Johan Cruyff Arena now since last year, February. So a bit more than a year now. I think you already introduced it as well, but Johan Cruyff Arena is the home of Ajax. We host the Dutch national team. But I think it's also important to say that we also organize large international concerts and dance events. So we're a truly multifunctional stadium. Here I'm responsible for innovation and advisory, like you said. Which means that on the one hand, I'm responsible for managing the Innovation Center together with my colleagues. And the Innovation Center is responsible for attracting, managing, and developing new innovations for the stadium, where we basically position ourselves as a living lab for startups, scale-ups, but also for new solutions of our corporate partners. And I will explain that in more detail, of course, later. On the other hand, the advisory part means that we're responsible for running the advisory services that we do, where we work as operator consultants for other stadiums, other venues worldwide. Mm-hmm. And in these projects, we operate as consultants and we guide other stadiums in venue development, venue management, and venue improvement. So it's quite a diverse role, very dynamic, which I really like. I like a lot. And maybe as a little bit of background, you ask me how did I end up here. Before this, I worked at a venture capital organization, which focused mostly on startup and scale-ups in the food and energy domains. Worked there for more than 4 years, and I set up a team there that sold startup intelligence, startup insights to corporate clients, and we advised corporates in how to optimally work together with startups. So we facilitated startup corporate collaborations. And when I started with my personal coach, I think I was, it's been like 5 years ago, I tried to explore, okay, what is going to be the next step? What am I truly passionate about? And I think it became quite clear that I was passionate in the sports and entertainment industry. Also listening to your podcast already quite a lot. So that also raised the interest for me. So then I decided I want to chase my passion in sports and entertainment by applying my professional expertise of innovation there. So that's how I ended up at the Johan Cruyff Arena. And I think the role that I have here is quite unique if you compare it to other positions at stadiums or clubs worldwide.
And I'm curious to hear more about that role. We'll get into the details. A couple of things to address there. First of all, you clearly are a fan of Johan Cruyff, who's well represented in your background, as I can see. Which year is that European Cup from that he's lifting?
Oh, it's a shame, but I don't actually. I think it's 90. No. It's 70.
Yeah, it has to be 70.
Or 5 or 6. Somewhere in the 70s.
In the mid
70s, way before
right?
I was born, so that's
but,
a shame.
But not bad. You're doing the number 14 proud, representing him well. So actually, one couple of reasons that I was excited about chatting with you, as Luke and I were introduced a few years ago while he was with his previous employer, because they were doing some interesting work in innovation and sport. And so it's been nice to see that for you to come on the podcast. That's a cool moment for us as well to share. But also the perspective of a stadium or an arena, because we've talked to a few sports organizations. You're not a sports organization. You're an organization which hosts sports, amongst mm-hmm. other things. I think maybe sports is the main activity, of course, because Ajax plays there, whatever it is, 17, 18 times. Actually, more than that, I'm sure. That's just
the around 25 matches a year. Yeah, depending on how well they do in Europe.
In Europe, right? So they a good chunk of games for the football team, but also various other activities. So I wanted your perspective from innovation and what you look at, number one. And number two, then actually get into the details of the program or the various programs that you all participate in. So why don't we start with that? What can you tell us about what the current state of innovation is at your organization?
I think, and it sounds cliche, but innovation is really at the core of the organization. You could even say it's in our organization's DNA. And the main reason of that, I think, is due to two things. I think on the one hand, already from the beginning, we had to overcome quite some big and difficult challenges already from the moment we opened the stadium. To give an example, the quality of turf was very poor. We had problems in growing it as well. Partly because we have quite a closed stadium with very little sunlight during the day. So I think innovation also arises out of a necessity, out of an urgency. We had to be more creative. We had to be innovative in overcoming these challenges. And I think if you look at the state of the turf now, it's actually one of our most innovative assets with many data sources. We have LED grass grow lighting technology. We have sensors in the turf, sensors in the soil. We have a multispectral camera in the roof. We have weather stations, a dashboard where all the data comes together, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's a very concrete example of something that was a very big challenge and problem at the start. We had to be creative. We had to innovate. And by making these steps, it's actually one of our most innovative and high quality assets that we as a stadium have. So I think that's one. And I think on the second hand, we don't have like a huge amount of budget that we can reinvest in the stadium or building, right? So we're a separate organization from the club. Usually a stadium is owned by either the club or the city. Mm-hmm. We are like a standalone organization. And if you compare our stadium to, for example, the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, right, I think it's very clear of how different the budgets are in that sense. And that also, again, that shows why we had to be creative and why we also even made a business model out of the innovation and advisory activities that we do. Right, so by having this business model, we can innovate, we can make use of the newest solutions and technologies. We also make profit and we can even reinvest that again in the building. So you could say that innovation is sort of like the driving force behind our services. And it really enables us to set ourselves apart by like co-developing, by testing, by implementing innovations together with our partners. And I think that's crucial for us to remain like world-class with state-of-the-art solutions over time. And not only by being world-class right now, but most importantly, how do you stay relevant over the years? And that's something what we're trying to achieved by running the Innovation Center.
Do you have a program that you're running? I believe Reimagine Football is the one, correct?
Yeah. So Reimagine Football is actually a series of startup challenges that we facilitated over the past few years. The most recent one happened during last summer. which focused on stimulating fan experience, fan engagement, but also how to facilitate sustainable stadiums. So these are actual startup challenges that we execute together with the Football Innovation Platform that we're part of. So the Football Innovation Platform is a network of leading European football organizations, football clubs, stadiums, leagues, federations that we're part of. For example, together with the Dutch FA, with Ajax, with UEFA, Manchester City, etc. So all kind of leading European organizations focusing on innovation in football. So together with them, we did several challenges over the past. And the last one happened last summer. So this is like a small part of what we do within the Innovation Center. So challenges are one means to attract new partners, new innovations, and new startup and scale-ups for us as a company. But it's part of the Innovation Center, which represents like a bigger open innovation initiative, I would say.
And sorry, on these challenges, are they specific topics every year? And does that change? Or is it pretty general, like fan experience and performance analytics and stuff like this?
It's mostly focused on those topics, indeed. But it changed every year. It also depended on where at that moment we had the biggest need, of course. But I think Hyova, you could say it was mostly focused on fan experience, fan engagement, sport performance, and sustainability. I think those were three main areas of interest. And also because what you see within the Football Innovation Platform, there are different types of organizations. Like I said, there are clubs, there are leagues, there are federations, stadiums as well. So the fan is always something that we have in common. We're all innovating, all working to serve this fan journey. So that's why you often saw that was one of the topics of the challenge, was focused on the fans. And for example, we as a stadium, we're not so much focused on the sport performance or innovating the football itself. That's more in the league federation side, for example.
It makes a lot of sense. And I feel like that's an ideology that I wish a lot more sports organizations, stadiums, etc. had or shared, because if you don't innovate, you die eventually.
Exactly. That's also something we try to implement in the, or not we try, but we do implement in the advisory services, right? So we can advise you, okay, how do you build the best new stadium at this point? But more importantly, how do you stay relevant in 10 years, right? Because the environment changes, the context changes, stakeholders change. How do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? And how do you make sure that you stay relevant? I think that's some of the key aspects of what we try to integrate there.
Understood. And you've already mentioned a bunch of partners that you work with. I know there are some partners that, let's say, you work with publicly, and also some more partners who are, let's say, private partners, and they don't put their logo on there, but are very much interested in what the Football Innovation Platform looks to achieve every year. So that's on one part of it. And Luke, you addressed that there is a general overarching theme as well of innovation that you guys focus on.
Yeah, so I think within the Innovation Center, we focus on three main themes, which is one is sustainability, the other is fan experience, and the third one is inclusivity, which focuses on social innovations. And that's what this is really from the stadium perspective. This is really where the Innovation Center of us as a stadium focuses on. And within each of those themes, we have certain epics or challenges that we as a stadium face together with our ecosystem of partners. So to clarify that, I would say within sustainability, we focus, for example, on the turf. So it should be high quality, but also in the most sustainable way on how we manage and improve the turf every year. We focus on energy. You think about sustainable energy generation, but also efficient energy consumption for us as a building. We focus on waste and litter in and around the stadium, where we focus much on circularity. And the last one within sustainability would be food and beverage. So we really want to provide sustainable and healthy food and beverage options to fans. And then within the second theme of fan experience, we actually distinguish between the fan journey of the football fan versus the concert or event visitor. Because on a high level, the journey is similar, but if you look at the details of it, it's very different. And of course, like I said, we're a multifunctional stadium, so we need to serve both type of visitors in that sense. And within Fan Experience, we are mainly responsible for safety and security in and also around the stadium. And around the stadium, we do that together with the National Police, but also with the City of Amsterdam. So those are two very important stakeholders with whom we innovate on that topic. And another one is mobility, where we want to provide like a safe, sustainable, and also seamless mobility journey for the fans that come to the stadium. And then the third one, the third theme about inclusivity, that's really focused on providing social innovations and mainly explaining how we can give back to the community as we're located in a developing area in Amsterdam, where we want to position ourselves to make a positive social impact, basically. And what you see is that within each of these challenges, there's like a small ecosystem of partners working on it together with us. So in total, we have around 35 to 40 partners, which is quite a lot, and we're all divided across the different themes and challenges that we focus on within the Innovation Center.
It's a fair bit of work for you then to make sure that you have to coordinate between everybody and each challenge meets Definitely. Its objective. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the challenges that you face while you're working in this role. If I had to ask you to name three challenges, which is not specific to each of the themes or anything, but just as an overall level from a culture, communication, finding the right partners, like what are the main areas that you need to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
I think that's a very good question. I've been thinking about it. I think on the one hand, what I find very difficult is to constantly find a balance between working from a certain kind of structure, prioritization, focus on what's needed from the operational perspective or point of view. And on the other hand, focus on providing new ideas, new inspiration, things that are not on the radar yet that are way more opportunistic. And I'm constantly trying to balance these two elements to be able to, on the one hand, create value for my operational colleagues, but at the same time also enabling us as an organization to keep this front-running position and focus on new stuff, right? So I think that's quite challenging to balance those two and make sure that you spend enough time on innovating and coming up with new ideas and initiatives. But on the other hand, also focus on the stuff that's needed right now from an operational point of view. So I'm constantly trying to balance those two. I think that's definitely one challenge that I'm facing in this role.
And that's important because you have to, as you said, you have to find a good balance between solving the problem of the present, but also anticipating the problem or the opportunity of the future.
And exactly, yeah.
You have to keep one foot on each side. Okay, that's a really good one. Anything else that you want to highlight?
I think in line with that is also to get along the rest of the organization, to get people involved. I think everyone working in innovation knows it's like a common challenge, but people find it difficult, right? And they have resistance to change, which is something that I think we as human beings have by nature. People are used to existing processes, existing structures, mindsets, which can all like lead to this resistance to adopt new ideas or technologies. And what you often see is that people are quite comfortable with the status quo, right? So overcoming this resistance to change is quite difficult, which I'm trying to do by focusing very much on effective communication, really focus on stakeholder engagement, building up relationships with these stakeholders. And it also requires a certain type of leadership, I would say, right? So you mentioned it, culture. I think it's very much in line with that. So get along everyone and make sure that everyone is on the same page and following you in your innovation journey.
And that's important because if everyone's not aligned, then you're never going to get to where you want to be. Speaking of leadership, so who's actually driving this topic? So you have a designated role, right? So I guess you're the innovation leader within the organization, but who is the final say come from? Who is the one that you have to go and get a checkbox? Is it the CEO? Is there a different, is it on the tech side of things? Where does the reporting, let's say hierarchy, how does that materialize?
Yes, I think if you really look on the at the innovation side, there's me and my director who are in charge of the. Yeah, it's our core responsibility to work on innovation here at the stadium.
And he or she is a director of innovation, or do they have like innovation is one amongst a lot of topics they look at?
No, he's director of innovation and advisory. Okay. And then we report, of course, directly to the CEO in that sense. I think if you look at who is the decision maker regarding this innovative, these innovation activities, then we always operate in a certain triangle. So there's us from the innovation department. Mm-hmm. We have the partners of the ecosystem that have the new solutions, the new innovations. And there's the colleagues from the operational departments, the managers that are and responsible for the particular topic. If we, for example, are working on innovations regarding the turf in the stadium, then there's always like the four partners that focus on the turf. There's me and the director from innovation. And there's the operational manager that's and responsible for managing the turf on a day-to-day basis. And it's always about balancing like the stakes within that triangle, I would say. I think it also shows that we from the Innovation Center are more the generalists. We deal with like a lot of different topics. And we need these expert partners, these expert colleagues to dive into the details of.
So you're like the facilitator. You said you're the general overview, but in the end, the business use case, whoever the business owner is, has to talk to that external partner and they have to come together to make the project a success. And you have to get buy-in from all those partners. All right, switching gears now, let's look forward a bit. I think we're going to touch on, I'm curious to know from your perspective, you already established the themes that you work under, like which are the main areas that you, that let's say the innovation challenges are focused on. But what areas interest you the most? What are the maybe one or two or three topics that you're always looking out for with especially keen interest?
Good question. I think there are three main things within, I think, this sports tech themes that I'm focusing on myself. I think one is, it's fan experience. I think it's very intriguing to see how much you can engage with fans nowadays, how you can create customized content, customized communications, really put the fan at the center of what you're doing. I think that's one, and it's also something that we, from a stadium point of view, focus on.
Anything specific that you've seen in that area that you've really liked?
Well, I think currently we are working on a tool which is basically like a hyper-personalized chatbot that can interact with visitors based on an AI algorithm. Mm-hmm. So we do that together with our partner Close, something we co-facilitate here within our field lab. And I think that's a very interesting example of how you very much with the upcoming improvements of AI, how you can serve fans in like new and in the best possible ways. So I think that it's really much focused on communication, but it's, as they say, like it's hyper-personalized. So it's really, really tailored towards your specific profile, your specific needs. And it really feels like you're at the center of it, you know, and it's really made tailor-made for you.
I understand. Okay, personalized. Personalized fan communication, that's a great one to start. Anything else?
I think another one which is not so much focused on fans, but and also something that we as a stadium do not focus on, but what I find very interesting is how to improve activity and performance of athletes, right? So we are not working here for the athletes, for the players of Ajax. It's really more on their side. But personally, I find it a very interesting domain. And there, for example, how you can use wearables, how you can focus on recovery, injury prevention, personalized coaching. I recently saw an article that claimed like, okay, what if you can use AI tools for tactics and combine that with the vision, mentality and the leadership of Pep Guardiola, right? What if you can combine those two and use more data in your tactics, but don't forget about the human aspect and integrate the two. Thought, yeah, that would be very interesting in the future. What if AI gets that far and you can combine it with the human aspects of it?
It sounds like every team could be managed by Pep Guardiola. That's a lot of passing. That's a lot of passing.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't underestimate the power of having like a true leader there as well.
Yeah, of course.
You can back it up with like your AI tactics and data that's getting more and more advanced. I think that's a very interesting interesting combination.
Okay, fair. So a couple of interesting ones. We touched about AI. We touched about personalized fan communication. And I think through that, we've also covered what would benefit the athletes, because if we focus on performance recovery, injury prevention, that is, of course, super relevant to the athletes. Let's maybe talk about you personally. I like this question. It's not one that I always trot out, but maybe you can share some of the best advice that you've ever been given.
I think on a personal note, I always... I still find it very difficult to find a balance between like constantly aiming for personal growth, being very ambitious and constantly trying to improve yourself. And on the other hand, to just be happy and satisfied, you know? So I think this is always like a very big struggle for me as I'm often very, very strict to myself. And once I got the advice from my personal coach, and I think it sounds very easy, straightforward and logical, but he told me, okay, you have to compare yourself to where you come from, all the things you do have and have done already, instead of always focusing on what you want to achieve and all the things that you don't have yet, right? So if you constantly try comparing yourself to your future self and where you want to go, you'll never be happy, you'll never be satisfied. So for me, that's always a very big challenge. And now I'm trying to implement that way of thinking, which enables me to like benefit from the positive aspects of being ambitious and constantly trying to improve yourself, setting new goals, etc. But on the other hand, also being a little bit more happy and satisfied in the current moment. So that for me has always been a very useful advice.
Interesting. Understand yourself with your own context, basically. Like make sure you're assessing yourself, as you said, from where you've come from and not just everybody else who's in that level. Interesting thought. All right, Luke, let's talk about what's coming up over the next few months. What new initiatives, what new headlines are we going to hear coming out of the Johan Cruyff Arena?
Quite a lot, I think. There's a lot coming up, as always. Maybe to pick some highlights there. I think what's interesting is we have the ambition to be net positive in 2030, which means that as a stadium, we want to make a positive impact on environment, society, and governance. So on E, S, and G. Our purpose has always been to create meaningful memories for our fans, for the visitors. But we want to do this by positively impact these aspects, right? So to make a positive impact on E, S, and G. Because unfortunately, organizing football matches, organizing events has a huge environmental impact, of course. If you only think about the flow of visitors, how they transport to the stadium, that of course already has like a huge CO2 impact. So we are aware of that. We want to change that. And we also want to inspire the rest of the industry with our journey and leverage our front-runner position in the field of sustainability. So we launched this ambition already last year, but it's a huge ambition, which has big implications on, well, the work that we're doing also at the Innovation Center. And I think the upcoming period is going to be very important to take next steps in this journey, to keep making progress and innovate on sustainability together with our ecosystem of partners. So that means we have to focus on scouting for new solutions and innovations that feed that ambition. We need to onboard our existing ecosystem partners. We need to look for new innovative partners as well. So it's a constantly something we need to focus on in the innovation activities that we do. To give you an example, we have to get everyone on this journey with us, right? 360 degrees. So think about the colleagues here internally, but also the ecosystem partners, the shareholders, suppliers, the community in the surrounding areas, other stakeholders, right?
So the fans,
exactly. The fans, especially with their mobility journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge part of our scope 3 emissions. So it's the biggest polluter, but also the most difficult one to manage. So let's indeed not forget about the fans. So it's a bold statement, a huge ambition, And it's extremely important that all of these stakeholders get on this journey with us, because without them, it's impossible, and all of them have to deal with it in a certain way. So net positive is definitely a focus topic for the coming period. And besides that, we have some exciting new innovations coming up as well, that we're focusing on in the coming months. I think, first of all, together with our partner Holland Innovative, we're developing and testing a multispectral camera, which is in the roof of our stadium, and that can measure the vitality and the density of turf. And so, for example, that could spot diseases already in the turf before we would be able to spot this as human beings. So in other words, we're trying to explore whether this camera could potentially, so to say, outperform our groundsman, which would enable us to make to move to predictive data-driven maintenance rather than taking measures reactively. So I think it is very big potential, very interesting project. And also shows a great example of our living lab to see of whether the groundsman can make use of this type of technology to further improve his maintenance activities. So I think that's one. I think second one, and that's also in line with the net positive ambition, is that we are working on expanding the energy storage system. So not so much focus on the sports itself, but like you said in the beginning, we are facilitating the sport environment. We already have over 4,000 solar panels on the roof for years already. And now we also want to expand our energy storage system.
Powerful stuff. And I love how much you spoke about sustainability and, let's say, environmental consciousness. It's net zero is something that is being spoken about a lot in sports now, mm-hmm. as it should be. Sports needs to be a leader in this topic. Just as Definitely. You said, the sheer amount of events, the amount of mobility, the amount of transport, journeys that it causes. And if, and it's on, it's, you can't put that burden on the fan. Like, you can't make a fan feel guilty about trying to support their club or be feel passionate about it. No, the organizations behind them need to do their part to offset whatever carbon emission is created. So great to hear that you guys are doing so much around it. Look forward to seeing more. And by the way, I can probably give you a couple of names of companies that that you might be interested in partnering with to help you. Yeah, to help you track this specific to sports. Yeah, we could take that offline as well. So, yeah, Luke, great to hear about all the cool stuff that the Johan Cruyff Arena does. That's a legendary figure in the background, not just your background, but in the background of the club. And he was always known to be an innovation-led, innovation-first kind of person. Reimagined football, literally. I'm going to borrow your own name, but that's football today is played because of the way he thought about it, and maybe a few people before him as well, Rinus Michels and such, but he was the man who took that mm-hmm. football to the new generation. And great to see in his legacy and his name, so much good work is being done around this space. So kudos to you and your team, and can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron.
What's a pleasure. Fantastic, Luke. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being on the show. Before I let you go, I have one last question. It is my favorite question to ask. I always have to ask my listeners, and you know this already because you are a listener. I have to ask my guests.
I knew it was going to come, indeed. Yeah.
So I hope you're prepared. What has been your favorite sporting moment?
I have been thinking about this for quite some time because it was difficult to pick one moment out of all of the relevant ones that happened in the past. And I think I ended up, it's not definitely not my favorite one, but it's my most memorable one. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the World Cup final in 2010. I'm not sure if you remember, but we, as the Netherlands, we played against Spain. Yeah. I remember that Arjen Robben, he went 1-1.
Arjen Robben, 1-1. Oof, yeah.
And Casillas saved the shot with his toe. And afterwards, Spain scored in extra time and we lost the final. And yeah. I still remember watching it as a kid and being so close was really painful. I think people in the Netherlands sometimes still wake up at night with this save printed in their memories. It's also known as like the toe of Casillas in Dutch. So not my favorite, but definitely my most memorable one was watching this as a kid.
That was a memorable night for me as well, because I don't think it was just some Dutch people crying. I had a few friends in the room. We had a nice big watch party and they lost a lot of money. Some guys who were doing some betting and stuff, and they were like, oh my God, Arjen Robben. But you usually expect him to bury that chance. I also remember Nigel de Jong with his kung fu kick on Xabi Alonso. That was a great game. It was a great game.
It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, good times. Luke, thanks so much once again for taking the time to chat with us and share all the cool stuff that's happening at the Johan Cruyff Arena. And as I said, we'll keep an eye out for all the new stuff that you have coming up.
Thank you so much. We'll keep you posted. And thanks again for the invite.
It is my pleasure. All right, guys, that's a wrap for another episode that is bringing an end to our series of talking to innovation leaders at sports organizations, or in this case, not just a sports organization. They do so much more at the Johan Cruyff Arena. Next up, we're going to be gearing up for our next report, the Sports Tech Ecosystem, Global Sports Tech Ecosystem Report. Remember, we combine this into one single report now rather than Europe, North America, and Asia, as we were doing before, because it needs that context. You have to see each region against each other. So this will be out at the end of April. So for the whole month of April, we're going to be talking to various leaders who have mounted new innovation initiatives in various parts of the world, whether it's a new accelerator, a new open innovation hub. We're going to be talking to a lineup of those. Stay tuned for that. All right, guys, till then, see you next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.